Fold Yourself Up, written by Chili Flame, and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, The Devil Wears Prada. Relationship, Miranda Priestley / Andreas Hex. Rating, general audiences. No archive warnings apply. Summary. After spending years as Miranda's assistant, Andy makes a decision that changes her life. Fold Yourself Up. How to be invisible, Kate Bush. Take a pinch of keyhole and fold yourself up. You cut along a dotted line, you think inside out, and you're invisible. Over the course of 3 years, Andy had stood behind Miranda on 100 red carpets as her assistant. She could read Miranda's mood by the tilt of her shoulders, by how she held her hands at her side, by the restlessness of her feet beneath her dresses. She longed to place her hands along all those parts of Miranda that communicated so clearly how Miranda was feeling. But it was her job to blend in, to disappear, to provide what was needed and then vanish into the woodwork. She didn't think Miranda thought about Andy at all beyond wanting to not have to ask Andy anything. There was just the expectation that all Miranda's needs would be met without thought or complaint. And nearly all the time, they were. Andy had grown from a totally incompetent, clumsy, and for all intents and purposes, bad assistant, into a real Miranda girl, in Christian's words. And she would remain so for a little while longer, but the desire to get away from a person who had subsumed nearly her entire personality was growing stronger and stronger. Andy had once had 1,000 dreams and ambitions. Now she clung to the crumbs of attention thrown away by a woman who would never look at her sideways. It stung. It was harmful, and it had to end at some point, otherwise she would lose any opportunity to grow a career beyond that of an executive assistant. For many, that would be a highly fulfilling, satisfactory career, supporting a high-powered female editor-in-chief. But Andy needed to regain a sense of independence. She had folded herself into a tiny box for long enough. Standing here surrounded by Klieg lights and photographers and startlingly beautiful people, Andy decided it was time to move on, before the little box she twisted herself into crushed her to death. 65 minutes later, Andy sat as silent as a stone across from Miranda as they rode through the streets of Madrid. Strangely, she felt Miranda's gaze on her. "Is there something wrong?" Andy asked. Though it didn't occur to her in the moment, she would later realize that she had, at some point, stopped paying attention to nearly all the cardinal rules around Miranda's treatment. The most obvious, never ask Miranda anything. "You tell me," Miranda replied softly. Andy frowned. "Pardon?" "You're only maudlin during Milan and London. I always assumed it was some sort of post-holiday depression or seasonal affective disorder. By the end of March, you're usually quite content." Andy blinked in confusion. Miranda had never asked how Andy felt unless she appeared visibly ill. Once, when Andy got an unexpected sunburn on the backs of her shoulders in Cannes, Miranda gave her the afternoon off without comment beyond a raised eyebrow.
I never thought you noticed anything about me."
Miranda's mouth momentarily fell open, and her gaze became laser sharp.
"What?"
The word was like a warning shot inside the quiet car. From Miranda's expression, Andy knew she had misstepped with that comment. That said, she had no idea what Miranda would want in a response other than the truth. Their entire relationship was, by design, exclusively about Miranda's needs. Andy's thoughts and feelings were irrelevant, and they always had been. Andy gave everything, deliberately draining herself day after day for a paycheck, a few quiet moments with Miranda, and the chance to do it all again the next morning. "I said, I never thought you noticed anything about me." It was a risk to repeat herself, but she didn't know what else to say. "My hearing is fine, Andrea. Why on earth would you think I don't care how you are?" She stumbled through the sentence as though unable to find the right words. "I notice everything about you. We spent all day together, sometimes 6 days a week, 50 weeks a year. Of course I notice you." Eyes wide, Andy couldn't tell what was happening, but Miranda continued to stare at her.
She almost seemed offended by the very idea that Andy felt invisible and lonely. When Andy didn't continue, Miranda began to speak. Your birthday is November 12th. You have two brothers and your parents almost got divorced last year, but they went to couples therapy and they're doing well now. Your favorite place to spend family vacation is at some lake in Pennsylvania, I can't recall the name, where your family has a little house on the water. You go fishing there and throw all your catches back because you're a bleeding heart who can't bear to eat anything she catches, even though you're far from vegetarian. Andy's heart started to speed up as Miranda continued. Your high school boyfriend's name was Michael, and your last boyfriend's name was Nate, and last I heard he was engaged to a woman in Boston, who you think he'll be a lot happier with because she puts his needs first, which of course tells me he's a man-child you're much better off without. You once made a huge mistake with a man whose name I won't bother to say aloud, as he would have put both of us out of a job given the opportunity. But you've certainly never repeated the error, as far as I know. Andy gasped in shock. When Ed Miranda found out about Christian. You have a deep desire to be a journalist, but the more you see in publishing, the more you wonder about your future in an industry that seems to be growing murkier and messier each year. You had a questionable haircut from a friend last October, and tried to hide it with 2 months of high ponytails. You're a lifelong Democrat, but want to remain bias-free in your reporting. Your favorite dish is chicken masala. You hate okra. And you occasionally bake the New York Times Dutch oven sourdough on the weekends and leave it in the kitchen in the hopes that someone who missed a meal will have something to enjoy. Oh my God, Andy said. All of it was true. I have eaten that sourdough, Andrea, and it is delicious. So is the butter. Where do you get it from? Dean and DeLuca? Andy nodded. Good butter was worth the splurge. You have learned over the past 3 years to control your emotions in the workplace, but you feel strongly about so many things. You have loves and hates and fears, and they're written all over your face, every day. And today, despite being a day filled with good weather, 3 acceptable meetings, a beautiful city, and an event we both managed to escape in time to have dinner at a reasonable hour, you seem despondent. I want to know why. Andy knew that whatever happened, she needed to tell Miranda the truth. After a long pause and a deep breath, she said, I think I decided today that I need to get a new job. Miranda's eyes flashed, the lights of the street lamps illuminating her face every few seconds. And why are you despondent about that? Miranda prodded. I do have strong feelings. I have strong feelings. She prepared herself for the humiliation. For you. Feelings I don't want to have anymore. I have to leave. I can't feel like this and still work for you. I'm sorry. Miranda's expression shifted slightly. Are you saying you hate me? What? Andy crowed. What? No. You said strong feelings. You were extremely nonspecific in what those feelings were, other than not wanting to have them. I have no choice but to infer that the feelings are negative. It felt as though Miranda had reached inside Andy's body and was pulling the truth out of her an inch at a time. Why did they have to do this now? Or at all? I have strong, caring feelings. I care about you. You care about Nigel. You even care about Emily. Does that hurt you? I don't think this is an appropriate conversation to have with... You've already said you're leaving, so we need to have this conversation right now. I need to know exactly what you mean when you say you have strong, caring feelings about me. Andy had never been so grateful for the privacy screen in a car. She didn't want to do this embarrassing thing in front of anyone, much less a guy who got paid to drive them around. I care about you in a, I guess, a romantic way. I can't work for a person I... She stopped. She hadn't even said the word to herself. She didn't want to be in love with Miranda. She didn't want to be in love with... Well, wait. The fact was that she didn't want to be in love with a person, any person, who didn't notice her, or care about her, or pay attention to her. But Miranda had just rattled off a series of very Andy-specific facts, and sure, she could have learned them all from talking to their other colleagues, but they were completely accurate, right down to the lake house in Pennsylvania and her high school boyfriend's name. Miranda had filed away all of these little details about Andy during their years together, enough so that she could recall them with no warning. How much more did she know about Andy? How much more did she think about Andy? How much more did she care about Andy than Andy had suspected, even as a friend? Andy wouldn't mind so much being in love with a person who at least saw her as a friend. It would be sad and disappointing, but it wouldn't be a total embarrassment. And if Miranda knew these things about her, that meant that Miranda believed those things were worth knowing, because God knew that Miranda immediately forgot all information that she found unnecessary to her daily living. Andy was startled when the car jerked to a stop. She heard the driver utter a muffled curse from behind the window. A few seconds later, they started moving again. She realized that Miranda was still watching her carefully, waiting with more patience than Andy could believe. "You can't work for a person, you?" Miranda repeated, nodding her head as if encouraging Andy to continue. She didn't blink once. "Love," Andy said. Miranda exhaled and fell back against the seat, closing her eyes. "Well, that's fine then." She hummed to herself for a moment before she smiled. "That's just fine." She lifted her head and gazed at Andy. Her smile was gentle and slightly off-center, making Andy's heart stutter in her chest. She rolled her eyes. "I thought you'd never say it." Andy was stunned. So, not only was Miranda not surprised, she wasn't upset either? "I've been waiting for months. I hoped, in any case. Where do you want to go next?"
"Waiting? I mean, what? You hoped?"
"Yes, Andrea, I hoped."
"You mean you...
"I have strong, caring feelings for you," Miranda snorted. "I'm writing that down, I'll have you know. When we tell our friends how things got started..."
Whoa. "We're going to tell people... We're going to have friends? Wait, what is happening?"
"Yes, Andrea, we're going to tell people. We're going to tell everyone, just as soon as you send off your last emotional goodbye email to your friends and colleagues at Elias Clark and move on to your next position. I was thinking a magazine instead of a paper. You'd have more of a chance..."
"Wait, what's getting started?"
Andy asked, suddenly realizing that she was very, very behind on the state of this relationship. And if she was right, none of her feelings were as one-sided as she thought. "Our love story, of course." Miranda's smile had grown smug now, as she looked out the window onto the streetlights that had grown dimmer as the car left Madrid behind, heading toward their villa on the outskirts of the city. Miranda had said she wanted more privacy than usual on this trip, cancelling plans for their standard Four Seasons suite in favor of something quieter. Off the beaten path, she'd said, where she could be alone. But she wouldn't really be alone, because Andy would stay there too, just in case she needed anything. After their driver dropped him at the villa, Miranda took Andy's hand as they walked up the steps. When they paused at the door, antique amber porch lights flickered above them, casting lovely shadows upon Miranda's remarkable face. Miranda looked delighted, and the sensation of having that pleasure pointed at Andy, for Andy, made her heart soar. For the first time, Andy felt completely unencumbered by the weight of suppressing her desire. In this moment, Miranda was as beautiful as anything Andy had ever seen. She would not wait to appreciate that beauty. And so, when she leaned in, Miranda took her in her arms and kissed her. Years later, Miranda would, in fact, tell the story to their friends, repeating the use of strong, caring feelings every time. She would laugh heartily at Andy's blindness to the emotions that had mirrored her own for some time. Her teasing would be merciless, but Andy would just smile and roll her eyes, because every time Miranda told the story, she understood how Miranda had loved her then, for perhaps even longer than Andy had. The idea that Miranda would discuss something so personal with other people was startling at the beginning, but Andy would come to understand that Miranda felt immense pride at being loved by Andy. She felt so much pride that she would tell anyone who would listen about how their love story began over a silly little throwaway conversation in a car in Madrid. That was the same moment that Andy felt a cloud of invisibility fall away, to realize that not only was she seen, she was loved. but neither of them told anyone exactly what happened after their conversation. That was a story worth keeping between them. The end.